The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, wasn't that good? Thank you so much, Mrs. Palmore. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 5, where the Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with what it says. Be content with it says, such things as ye have. For he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I want you to think about the contents of what he is saying in the verse. He says that there needs to be people that is just not covetous over the things that other people have. Then he goes on, he says we're supposed to be content with such things as we have. So the things, the possessions that we have, we're supposed to be content. But then he comes back and he says this. He says, and I'm going to tell you something. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want to speak to you this morning on understanding the closeness of God. Understanding the closeness of God. I think sometimes what we do in our frail thinking is we do not understand what it means to be close to God. And when I think about preaching, I think that preaching's really complicated. If you think about some of the things that people go through, and you want to meet their needs. Some people would go through those intimate times where everything is going right. And those intimate times come seasonally, where it just seems like there's a certain season set in their time of living out each year that when that season hits, everything goes right. Other people have seasons in their life where it seems like when they go through those particular times in their life, nothing goes right. And so you see that there's people that live by seasons. Then you see that there are people that have different needs. I promise you that there's more than two needs that are in this room this morning. I promise you that. I promise you probably there's more than 20 needs represented differently by people that sit in this room this morning. So people have different needs. There are certain times where a person, if you will please, will feel like they are all alone. There's other times when they have those warm feelings, like everything is hunky-dory-dory, and they've got all the friends in the world. And so it makes preaching kind of difficult because of the fact you want to meet everybody's needs. So the only resolve that a pastor has is to be able to get in the Bible and read the Bible and be able to ask God through His Holy Spirit to be able to give a truth that will meet everybody's need. Now, here's how that happens. So the pastor meets with God, and the pastor prays, and the pastor begins to rely on God. And as he begins to rely on God, the Holy Ghost of God will say, I want you to go this direction. And so the pastor, being obedient, will go that direction. And then what the Holy Spirit does, because the pastor was obedient to that which was God through way of the Holy Spirit, he goes that direction, and then he throws that truth out there, and the Holy Spirit then takes that truth and gives a very personal application to the person that needs that truth in their life. That's how come every church service is important. That's why it's important to be able to say, well, I tell you what, maybe I don't go to every church service now, but I think I need to try. Because as a person begins to come to church, the more you're in church, the more God, through way of the Holy Spirit of God, can meet your personal need. Now, I want us to understand a couple of things about preaching this morning as we talk about understanding the very closeness of God. Here's what we understand. Sometimes a pastor gets up, and by way of the Holy Spirit guidance, he will preach what we call a preventative medicine message. It's a preventative. It's sort of like taking the vitamins that you take because you know that you need to be strong because what is around the corner. Sometimes the pastor has to get up and he has to preach a medicinal type of a medicine, if you would please, message, where he gets up and he sees that there's a challenge, there's a problem, so he's got to give medicine for a quick fix to be able to help somebody with a need. Sometimes the pastor get up and he'll preach messages that are seasonal, because he realizes that during times of certain seasons, people go through certain things. Now, may I tell you that you will not always feel close to God. I remember when I received Jesus Christ as Savior, I've heard other people say, you know, when I received Christ as Savior, I tell you what, I was so moved that when I received Christ as Savior, I could not contain the tears. It was tears of happiness or tears of rejoicing or tears of gladness or tears of appreciation or tears of the fact that they were so understanding of the fact that God sent his only begotten son to shed his blood and to pay the debt that they owe as a sinner. And they were just so overwhelmed that they was moved in tears. Now, can I tell you whether they be moved in tears or not? That's not what saves a person. What saves a person is their trust in Jesus Christ. I've seen people that I led one lady to the Lord many years ago back in Mississippi, and I led her to the Lord. I showed her how to be saved, and oh, she was so excited, she began to laugh. And she just had a time. She started laughing and slapping her knee, and I thought, boy, she's going to slap me next. But she started laughing and slapping her knee, and she was just so beside herself. She was so excited that she got saved that she went into a laughter beyond compare. Now, whether she went into a laughter or not, may I tell you that that's not what saved her. What saved her was her trust in Jesus Christ. I've been praying with many different ones, and did you know that sometimes a person that I'm praying with will all of a sudden get happy, or somebody I'm praying with will begin to weep, or somebody that I'm praying with prays in great earnest, and they begin to cry aloud thinking that God is deaf. They begin to pray out loud with great earnest, but may I say, whether they pray with a quaint little still type of voice or whether they shout it, it is not the mannerism in which they pray. It is the content and the directiveness of who they pray to. Sometimes we get that which is the feeling mixed up with that which is truth. I've seen people take the Bible and they show people how to be saved, and boy, they walk away from a house and they're just so excited that the person received Jesus Christ as Savior. And I've seen people I've taken out soul winning and they walk away from the house and they don't say a word of rejoicing that that person they just talked to came to know Christ as Savior. But it doesn't change the fact that once a person is saved, they are saved forever. And when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, they are saved not by the emotional outpouring, but they're saved because of the fact that they received Christ, the only begotten of the Father, the only one that gives eternal life. Now, I like feelings. I don't know of anybody that doesn't like feelings, especially when they're good. I like that good feeling on the inside when my daughter says, "Let's go down to Sweet Frog." And we sit there, and I get that vanilla yogurt that I like. Woo! I feel pretty good. I like it when I'm rooting for my team, and my team pulls out in front. I like the feeling. No, it's not the Cubs. I like the feeling. I like the feeling when all of a sudden there is somebody that gets up, and boy, they sing a song, Dr. Smell, and that song is just so good. I like that feeling. But I do not base that which is truth on feeling. Let me give you an example. There's been times when I didn't feel so close to God, but I knew I was. There's been times when I felt close to God, but I knew I wasn't. There's been times when I felt like going to church, and I did. There's been other times when I didn't feel like going to church, and I did. Because I'm not basing what is right or what is wrong on a simple feeling. There are thousands of people all around the world, and here's how they determine the will of God. I feel like God is leading me. God's leading has nothing to do with a feeling. Now, maybe in ignorance, they mix up their words. Or maybe in the fact that they're going by what they said and they're basing it on a sheer feeling. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to feel close to God. I love to feel like I'm living in the presence of heaven. I love to feel like heaven is coming down into my soul. I love to be able to hear those that are standing for God. And in my heart, I know that they're standing against the wiles of the devil and they're winning. And boy, I love being on the winning side. And there's some good feelings about that. Boy, I like to have heavenly sleep on a heavenly pillow. I like to be able to dream the nice dreams. And I like to be able to hear the whispering of the Holy Ghost of God. And I like to be able to preach with God's power and know that there's a closeness of God. I like to be able to have my thoughts consumed with the very things of God so much that I know that I'm so yielded that when I leave a place, I know for sure that I've helped somebody. But I want to tell you, you cannot base that on a feeling. You think about this. I tell you, I have preached some sermons where I feel like maybe God is just not working, and all of a sudden there's the outpouring of the Holy Ghost of God, and people are getting saved, and people are being changed, and people come to an altar, and they weep, and they cry, and they go home, and it's not a weeping and a crying, but it's an actual change, a functional change that they make in their life, and a functional change that they make in the life of another. And I'm saying this, we've got to be careful that we don't stumble and become terrible examples of that which is a wrongdoing because of a feeling. Let me give you three thoughts this morning. Statement number one, we substitute happiness for being close to God. We substitute happiness for being close to God. Well, you know, I just got a pay raise, so I feel good. God must be blessing me. Well, I just got married, and so I feel good. I just received an inheritance, and so I feel good. One of the children obeyed me, finally. And so I feel good. It's not based on feeling. You understand that happiness, as I've said, often comes from an happening. You go down to Six Flags and you get on the most exciting, the most extreme ride that they have. And you can have a feeling as you go up and then you drop into the center of the earth. But that feeling will come and go. You know what God likes? The Bible says that he likes a steward that is faithful. Somebody that's just there. Hey, we come and we obey God when we feel good, and we come and we obey God when we don't feel good. We come and we obey God when things are up, and we come and we obey God when things are down. We come and we obey God when relationships are sweet, and we come and we obey God when the relationships are not sweet. Why do we do it? I'll tell you why we do it. We do it because there's a God in heaven. There's a book on earth that's called the Bible, and we just decide that we'll rise up and we'll obey God the way we're supposed to. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. You have to take the first step. It doesn't say draw nigh to God and feel it. You may be drawing nigh to God and not feel it. Did you know that? Come here, Jonathan. Jonathan's my oldest son. And watch this. The fact of the matter is, he and I can walk side beside each other. And we can walk side beside each other through that which is the woes of life, the goodness of life, the pleasures of life. And while we're walking side beside each other, I can feel good about it. Hello. Or I could feel nothing about it. You're welcome. I said, we can walk side beside each other and I can feel good about it. He said, that's good. I said, I can walk side beside him and not feel anything about it. He said, thanks a lot. But the fact of the matter is, I'm walking. Have you ever done this? Have you ever gotten your car and pointed it towards church house? You even confessed it to your child. You said, well, I'm going, but to be honest with you, I don't really want to. Well, I'm going to go, but I really don't want to. Now, the fact of the matter is, you did yourself a great justice just by going. Whether you wanted to or not, whether you felt like it or not, you were an obedient Christian. And because you were an obedient Christian, God blessed you because of the fact you did not let your feelings override your obedience. See, God says this. He says, draw nigh to God and he will. If you want God to draw nigh to you, first of all, you have to draw nigh to God. You have to be the one that takes the first step. You have to be the one that will step up and do what is right. Let's pray for Mrs. Williams. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for Mrs. Williams. Lord, we love her. We call her Granny. Lord, I often kid with her saying that we're going to take and sing a song together. And Lord, I know that our medical team is helping her right now. And we love her. And you just work in her life and give her peace and comfort her heart and calm her down. And help her now, please, would you? We love this precious lady. We're going to put her in your hands and we're going to trust you to take care of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Watch this. We got medical staff. They're taking care of her. We love her. She'll be okay, I promise you. But I want you to look right up here. When the Bible talks about that which is a person that is walking close to God, we understand this. We understand that we cannot substitute happiness for a closeness of God. Listen to your Bible. John chapter 7 and verse 17, the Bible says, if any man will do his will. Now watch this very carefully. If any man will do his will, he shall know, watch it, he shall know of the doctrine. Now when do you know of the doctrine? You know of the doctrine when you do his will. So when a person steps out, then he understands the doctrine. But if a person never steps out, they never will understand the doctrine. Here's what a person says. A person says, well, I want to understand the doctrine first, and then I'll do it. That's not what God says. God says you step out to obey it, then you'll learn about it. All right, now here's what it says. He says, and if any man, it says, will do his will. Now watch the order. He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So first he says, in order to be able to learn doctrine, you have to step out to the doctrine. Stand here, Jonathan. Hold your Bible. All right. So I say, okay, I tell you what, I hear doctrine. I hear doctrine. I hear doctrine. I hear doctrine. I hear what that preacher says. But until I step out to obey the doctrine, until I step out and become in the presence of doctrine, then I cannot understand all the doctrine because I'm not in its presence. That's why your Bible says this. John chapter 13 and verse 17, the Bible says, if ye know these things, happy are ye, it says, if you do them. So when are you happy? You're not happy just about knowing them. I know people that know their Bible but never practice their Bible and they're very unhappy. I know people that has been taught right but do not do right and they're unhappy. Now, God says this. The Bible says, if you know these things. I know people that know they're supposed to go soul winning, but they never go. I know people that know they're supposed to read their Bible, but they never read it. I know people that know they're supposed to be faithful to church, but they're not. I know people that know they're supposed to tithe, but they don't. I know people that they know what is right. They know how to rear children. They're experts. They know this is right, this is right, this is right, this is right, but yet they never do it. Now, why are they not happy? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you know these things, happy are ye. What? If, what? You do them. He says, you're happy if you do them. So a person can know it all. I can tell you why Christians, and I love you, but I can tell you why Christians that are sitting in this room, you're no more happier than a man on the moon. And when you're unhappy, you make everybody else unhappy. Because you know too much. To whom much is given, much is required. You cannot know what you know and do what you are not doing and be happy. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. God has given you too much knowledge for you not to obey. And when you don't obey, and then you become cantankerous. And cantankerous people always complain. They always bellyache. Because of the fact of they're not doing what they know to do. I'm telling you, how is it that you can be happy? How is it that you can find
joy. How is it that you can walk close to God? It's not about the feeling. Some people substitute happiness for being close to God. It is not it. You cannot substitute some formulative type of happiness such as Six Flags or going to a park in order to be able to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That's just like drinking a can of beer. That's just like guzzling down some whiskey. There is no substitute. You can't take drugs and find the peace of God. The peace of God is in being obedient to God.
I'm saying statement number one, we substitute happiness for being close to God. Statement number two, we substitute success for being close to God. Well, God must be blessing me because I'm successful. I know Hindus that are successful. I know practicing people that are Islamists that are successful. I know people that are very far away from God. Those that are agnostics and those that are atheists that they're successful. If a man works, somebody's going to pay him. If a man works hard, he's going to make more pay. That's a duh. Can I tell you, though, we're talking about the closeness of God. We're talking about walking in obedience to Him. You know, two out of the seven churches that's mentioned in the book of Revelation were very godly churches. Two out of the seven. Very godly churches. But those two churches were more persecuted than any other churches that's mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we do. We equate closeness of God to that which is a physical, outward manifestation of success. And it is not always that way. If that be true, those that are in prison camps today because of their faith are failures. That cannot be true. So here's what we do. We try to substitute success for being close to God. What about Job? Job walked with God. Bible says he eschewed evil. Then all of a sudden, calamity hits. He loses all of his children. He loses all of his herds. He loses all. It can't be that you equate a closeness of God with that which is success. Sometimes when people that are close to God have a great degree of success and we all want it, but you can't say that that is evident of the fact of you being close with God. Closeness with God has to do with one thing only, obedience. When we walk with Him, we're close with Him. When we don't walk with Him, we're not close with Him. We're not close with Him. I'm saying this. Here's what happens. We substitute happiness for being close to God. We substitute success for being close to God. Statement number three, and I'm done. We substitute performance as being close to God. We get up and we sing a song and it turned out right. And we say, "Woo! God was all over that." Well, maybe it was you all over that and not God. You know, you can become so good at something that you don't need God as much. I've been out soul winning with some of the best soul winners in America, I promise you. I promise you. I've been out soul winning with some of the men that has gone on to be of the Lord, and they were fantastic soul winners. I have preached on the platforms with some of the greatest preachers that has ever crossed a platform. And I'm telling you, if we're not careful, here's what we do. We begin to substitute a performance. Now, I'm not saying they did. I'm just giving you a statement. If we're not careful, we begin to substitute a performance for that which is a true anointing of the power of God. Now, God does not want us to do that. You know, we need to get alone with God. We need to pray. Let me give you an example. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was the one that came to the tomb. Now, you understand that she's very close to the Lord. You understand that she had a very special relationship. Probably one of the closest ones to the Lord Jesus while he walked his earthly ministry. She goes into the tomb, about the tomb, and finds that it's empty. All of a sudden, loneliness and despair hits her heart. She goes outside, and the warm tears are cresting down across her cheek. And all of a sudden, she meets one that is standing there, like it unto a gardener. And as she meets the one, she didn't know it was the Lord. She was so wrapped up in her emotions that she did not see the Lord. She was so wrapped up with, this is empty in my life. This is a wrong that's in my life. She was so wrapped up with the emotions of the empty tomb, with the hot tears that was cresting down her cheek. She was so wrapped up in the emotional stimuli of what was going on that her heart became so broken and so quickly mashed, if you would, that now all of a sudden you see that she doesn't even recognize the one that had the victory over the tomb. We can become so emotionally involved in something that we don't see truth. Now, wait a minute. You can pray and not be close to God. Did you know that? You can go to church and not be close to God. You can tithe and not be close to God. All it is about being close to God is that which is being obedient, listen to it, with all of your might. So what do I mean by that? Okay. The Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. Is that right? Woo! Cheerfulness is that which is an extenuation of the heart. It's the inwardness. All right, now I'm going to give you a comparison. We see how to get close to God, Dr. Smell, is to simply obey him. But now if you want to add feeling to the obedience, then you get excited about obeying him. Have you ever been to a church that is dead? I remember I was an evangelist for 12 years. I told my wife often, I think one of the reasons that we're in this church this week is to raise the dead. I mean, it was just like, you know, there was corpses sitting in the pew. Now, I don't think you need to necessarily shout and run the aisle. But I think if you love Jesus and God is speaking to your heart, maybe from time to time you ought to smile a little bit. Maybe from time to time you men could muster up a little bit of an amen. Maybe from time to time it would be nice to be able to at least nod your head. Or, you know, and if the preacher's getting your husband, maybe just hit him a little bit. And say, hubby, I love you, but that was for you. My Bible does say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't think that church ought to be a funeral home. There was a day when the independent Baptist churches were the greatest in all the nation, but they lost their fire. Why? I think because they lost their walk with God. I think because they lost their obedience. Let's get back to obeying God. Let's get back to doing what God said. Let's get back to doing it the way God said it. I'm telling you this morning that substitution of performance doesn't mean that a person is close to God. Now I say this morning, you can cry, that doesn't mean you're close. You can complain, that doesn't mean you're close. You can laugh, call it a holy laugh if you want to, make yourself feel good. Doesn't mean you're close. You know, you can get tickled about something. Instead of laughing, you go hee hee. That doesn't mean you're close. You can get inspired. Get inspired. You know, I mean, woo, get inspired. Doesn't mean you're close. Closeness comes with obedience. But you can add feelings to your obedience. My wife, when she receives sugar, she'd rather I do it with feeling than not. When I hold my wife's hand, she'd rather I do it with feeling than not. Well, I like going to preaching. I don't just like preaching. I like going to preaching. Man, I like it when a guy gets up and rips. I like it. I'd rather somebody have something to say and say it with a little bit of energy than if somebody get up and have no energy, though he had something good to say. I'd rather have both. This is what this is talking about. It's talking about, hey, you can take and you can be right with God. How can you be right with God? You be right with God by obeying Him. You be right with God by understanding. If you know these things, if you know these things, if you know these things, that's not enough. Let me show you the average Baptist church across America. You want to? You want to? Here's the average Baptist church across America. When they're young, they go to church because they have to. Mom and daddy drug them, gave them drugs, drug them to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Had to. Then all of a sudden, they get the want to. So they begin to want to. When they become teenagers, they get a little bit excited because somebody excited them about a bus route. Somebody excited them about soul winning, going out, keeping somebody out of hell. They got excited. Then they get married. They start having kids. With every ounce of energy in their life, they say, we're going to serve God. Then all of a sudden, the bills start to get higher than the money. And if they're not careful, they'll get off track. They'll say, well, I got to work. I got to eat. Yes, but you don't have to have steak, breakfast, lunch, and supper. I would rather not eat fancy and keep him first than to eat fancy and him not be first. We lost our sacrifice. Used to be a day in the churches across America when Sunday morning was full and Sunday night was full and Wednesday night was full and you had to get there early to get a seat. But people stop doing what they know they were supposed to be doing. They begin to substitute their performance, their successes. They begin to substitute their happiness from that which is obeying God. You listen to me. It's really neat in your Bible. You'll find this to be true. 366 times in the Bible, the Lord says, I'll be with you. Isn't that neat? He gives you one reminder for every day of the year, including leap year. He says, I'll be with you. There's not one day in your life that you have to go through life lonely. There's not one. But we understand this by stepping out and being obedient to Him. He will help us to be able to fulfill His will. But now you have a choice of how you do that. It was old Doubting Thomas. Thomas said, look, Lord, let me in. Let me touch you and see. Our Lord turned back and He said, blessed are those that believe that have not seen. Hello? There's just something about putting your faith. Oh, look, there's nobody that can answer prayer other than God. So when my marriage is not doing well, I don't know what to do. You don't cut God out. I'll tell you what not to do. You put God more in. That's what you do. You become more obedient, not less. Not less. Look, can I tell you, we have not had a hitch in our giddy up of being married. Not one time. Not one time has my wife stood in the living room, in the bedroom, or any other room, and said, I think I'm going to leave you. Not one time. Not one time. Not one time has one of my kids stood in the living room and said, I can't wait to get out of this place. Now, to be honest with you, I can't wait till they get out of this place. I'm kidding. We have a good relationship. I think all that has to do with a lot of how we pointed their noses. Said, serve God, obey Him, let's go. And while others, are you listening to me? Here's how it goes. While others back off and will point the finger and say, huh, my little ones are still serving God. Isn't that amazing? But what is happening is you teach them to obey. You obey. And if they fall in love with God, are they going to love you more? If they fall in love with truth, are they going to obey it more? Now, truth can become a rule. And a lot of parents says, well, you do this because, and you do this because, and I say. But if they fall in love with truth, they'll do it because it's truth. And truth is now, a rule is now translated into truth. And they embrace it. I'm saying that we can substitute. We can substitute emotions for obedience. I'm telling you, there is a way to understand the closeness of God. All right, one more time. I'm done. You ready? Come on. Let's go, Trip. We're walking together through life. He's 12. He's walking together through life. And I say, hey, Jonathan, see that boy over there? Go witness to him. Go. He just goes and does it. You know what I did? I helped him to obey God by putting something in his life that God blesses. Stay with my thought. Here we go. Jonathan, come back. I'm going to show you how parents are. Okay? Oh, he wasn't saved yet. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to show you how parents are. Okay? I said, oh, hey, look, we're going to go. We're going to go over here. Dr. Bob Smith, he's preaching a conference. We're going to go hear him. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. I don't say, do you want to go? Would you like to go? Did I ever do that? Ever? He didn't have a choice. He didn't have a vote. And if he had a vote, it never counted. I say, hey, we're going to go hear Dr. John Hamlin. We're going to go hear Dr. Shelton Smith, Dr. Bob Gray Sr. We're going to go hear him. All right, now, wait a minute, watch this. He didn't have a vote. That's what we're doing. Some of you men need to put your britches on. Here you go. Look at your family and say, we're going to church Sunday night. This is what we're doing. We're going to church Sunday night. Tired, not tired, feel like it, don't feel like it. It's about time we stand up, put God first. We're going to church. And so he never had a vote. I say, hey, we're going soul winning on Saturday. Let's go. Let's go. If he says, well, Daddy, I'm sick. I don't feel good. Take an aspirin. Let's go. Now, if he was really sick, I am a guy that has compassion. He's really sick, but I mean, if it was just something like, you know, oh, I got to sneeze. Okay, catch it. But let's go. Let me show you the average American family today. You ready? You ready? Boy, I tell you what, man, you need to be a part of the sports program over here. Go ahead. Go over there and play sports. Well, that's not teaching him to obey God. Where's he going to get a reward in heaven for playing sports? Now, I'm all for sports. I am all for sports. I'd rather have a masculine young man than a sissified boy. I'm all for sports. Hey, come on, come on. Hey, you know what? I want to take you on a hunting trip. So what we're going to do is we're going to miss Sunday night church. It'll be okay. We'll meet with God under the sky. Yeah, he's up there somewhere. We'll meet him. Yeah. I didn't teach him to obey God. He's not going to be rewarded for that. How's he going to be rewarded? By obeying God. Obeying God. Well, you know, let's go off to this concert because in their songs they're going to sing about God. Jesus Christ did not shed his blood and die for the concert. He did for the church. See, we got it all. Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying if you just get excited about the things that God gets excited about, hey, let's pull out the stops. Put God first. Let's decide it's God or nothing and put him first and obey God and let God bless you. Obedience. Obedience. One day you're going to be old and gray. I know you don't believe it now. But one day you'll be old and gray. You have no hair and false teeth. Have to gum your wife to death. And you're going to look back over your life, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to look back over your life, and you're going to say, I wish I would have. I missed it. I had a chance, and I blew it. And my kids will always remember the time that I blew it, and I never got back. They'll walk by you in a casket one day, and they'll say, boy, I tell you what, I was a good mama, but she just wasn't spiritual. I was a good daddy, but he just didn't have it together. Because one day they're going to get, One day they're going to hear the truth. Hello? There's more to life than playing board games with your kids. There's more to being right with God than just taking and doing whatever you want to do. God says, obey me. Let's get back to that old-fashioned religion.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.